today on the subject, What Can a Sinner Do? Now, I'm reading from my text, John the 6th chapter, verse 29. John 6, 29. Now, listen to the word. Then said they unto Christ, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now that's my text. What shall we do? What can we do to work the works of God? Now, when a man preaches the word of God to a congregation as large as this TV audience, and I recognize that this station reaches many, many, many people all over West Virginia and Kentucky and Southern Ohio. And when a man preaches the word of God to this many people, there are always five classes of people in the audience. Five classes. Now watch this carefully. Number one, they're all sinners. Everybody listening to my voice is a sinner. That's what the Word of God says. Whether you're in the pulpit or the pew, whether you're in the church or in the world, you're a sinner. The Word of God says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And Romans 3 says there's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God. They're altogether become unprofitable. Sin is the common disease of all flesh. The Scripture tells us by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So that's true, isn't it? Everybody listening to my voice, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter who you are a sinner, and a sinner's speaking to you. And secondly, there are people out there, there are sinners out there who have faith in the Son of God. They believe the Word of God, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have assurance of that faith. There are people listening to me right now. I believe I'm one of them. I believe I can say this. I have assurance, I have confidence of my interest in Christ, and many of you have confidence of a saving interest in the Son of God. And you can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know, I believe the Word of God. I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe Christ died for my sins, and I believe on Him. I've trusted Him. I know, I can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I can say with David, the Lord indeed is my shepherd. And with that old man, that old blind man whom the Lord healed, I can say, I know I was blind and now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You can say that. I believe I can say that. I believe many of you can. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm resting totally and completely on the person and work of Jesus Christ. But thirdly, I said there are five classes of people out there now. All are sinners. There are some sinners who are saved and who know it. They have a confidence in Christ. But thirdly, there are sinners out there who believe on the Son of God. They truly do. They can say, I do believe the Bible. I do believe I'm a sinner. I do believe Christ died for my sins. I do believe that. But these people struggle with the matter of assurance. Sometimes they have assurance and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they feel like they have an interest in Christ and sometimes they don't. John Newton sort of wrote about this when he wrote that hymn, "Tis a point I long to know, and often it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not?" There are people out there who can say, I do believe that Bible is God's Word. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I do believe from my heart, preacher, that He died on the cross for sinners. And I know that He's the only Savior. And I believe I'm trusting Him. But I just don't have assurance. I just don't have that confidence that many people have. I struggle with doubts and fears about my interest in Christ, about my relationship with the Son of God. I say with the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And then there's a fourth class. Now listen, if this is true, I know what I'm talking about. All are sinners. There's some sinners who are saved by the grace of God and they have rest and peace and joy and comfort about their relationship with God. There are others who do believe, but they don't have assurance. They don't have confidence. They're always troubled about their relationship with God. Then fourthly, there are people who, plenty of people, who claim to have salvation, who claim to have eternal life, who claim to know God, who do not really know Him at all, who do not have salvation, who do not have eternal life. Christ spoke of them. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many, many will say to me in that day, in the day of judgment, Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you." And John wrote about these people. He said, "They went out from us. They quit. Oh, they served for a while. They came to church for a while. They witnessed for a while. They walked with the disciples for a while, and then they left." And John said, "They went out. They left us. They went out from us." But he said, "They never were of us. Because if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us." So there are people who have religion, who belong to the church, who make a great profession of faith, but who really do not know the Lord, who do not know Christ, who do not have life, and eventually they'll quit. Eventually they'll drop along the wayside, return like the Apostle Peter said, like the pig to the water, like the dog to his vomit. They leave. And then there's a fifth class of people out there listening to my voice today. There are those who make no profession of faith in Christ at all. They make no claim to a hope of eternal life. They've never confessed Christ. They've never claimed to be a Christian. They've never laid any claim at all to being a child of God. And it's perhaps they've never seriously faced the matters of sin and death and judgment and eternity. Maybe they never have. Maybe they will today. Perhaps they will. Perhaps the Spirit of God will kindle an interest in their hearts and regenerate them, bring them to have an interest in Christ. Well, is there a message? Is there a message? Is there a word for all these people who are listening to this preacher and who listen to other preachers who preach the gospel, the Word of God? Is there a word for sinners? Is there a word for sinners saved? And is there a word for sinners saved with no assurance? Is there a word for sinners who think they're saved but who are not? Is there a word for those who have no saving interest in Christ, no profession? Yes, there is. There is. There is. And that's what I'm going to deal with today. It's the answer to the question, what can a sinner do? What can a sinner do? All right, this question has been asked by all sorts of people. You're not the first one that's asked this question. It's asked several times in the Word of God. I looked through the Scriptures and I found in John 6, that one I read to you a moment ago, they came to the Lord and they said, "Lord, what shall we do? What can we do that we might work the works of God?" In Mark chapter 10, a rich young ruler came to Christ and he said, "Good Master, what shall I do? What can I do to inherit eternal life? What can a sinner do?" In Acts 2:37, after the Apostle Peter had preached on Pentecost and rebuked them for crucifying the Lord of glory, charged them with having with wicked hands crucified the Son of God. They said, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? What can we do? What's the way out of the mess we're in? Acts 16:30, when God sent the earthquake and shook the prison and released the fetters and chains from the hands and arms and legs of the Apostle Paul and Silas, and the jailer came in trembling and fell on his knees in front of Paul and said, sirs, what can I do? What must I do to be saved? What can a sinner do? I intend to answer that question. I intend to answer that. But I want to lay this foundation first. Now, it doesn't matter who you are. Listen to me. Because all have sinned and come short of God's glory. In whatever state you're in right now, you need to hear these words. First of all, before I answer the question, what can a sinner do? Let me say this. No man deserves God's mercy. Now, my friends, we're mercy beggars. No man deserves God's grace. We certainly are not going to receive grace because we deserve it. Grace is undeserved favor, unmerited favor. Mercy is free. And no man can obligate God. God's not obligated to us. He's not obligated at all except to deal with us in justice. And whether he saves us or damns us, he's going to deal with us in justice. If he deals with us in mercy, that justice will fall on Christ. If he deals with us in condemnation and judgment, the judgment will fall on us. But he's going to deal with us as a just God. But no man can obligate God. We just can't do it. And no man can in the flesh please God. Now, we've got to understand that. No man in the flesh, even you people who are saved, you people who know God, you people who are redeemed, in your flesh, you don't please God. Your righteousness is a filthy rags. It's Christ that makes your prayers acceptable. It's Christ that makes your gifts acceptable. It's Christ that makes your works even acceptable. He's our great high priest. Nothing's acceptable in itself that you and I do, because to be accepted, it must be perfect, and we don't do anything perfectly. Never have done anything perfectly. Never said, thought, or have we ever done anything perfectly. So no man in the flesh can please God. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. And no man by searching or by natural wisdom can find God. What's higher than heaven, Job said, what can you know? It's deeper than hell. What can you find out? It's broader than the sea. Oh, the depths of the riches, the wonders of the glories, the mysteries of the gospel of the Son of God. No man by natural wisdom or searching can find God. He's got to be revealed. Revealed unto us by the Spirit through his word. And no man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. Now that's just so, because our sinful condition is a helpless, hopeless state. Well, what can a sinner do? Preacher, what can a sinner do? If you're addressing a bona fide, genuine, self-confessed sinner, tell me, what can a sinner do? All right, will you listen? Firstly, he can take his place before God as a sinner. Now, he can do that, can he not? All who received his mercy in the New Testament, when Christ walked this earth in the flesh, all who received his mercy in the flesh, when he was in the flesh here on this earth, those that were healed by him and redeemed by him and visited in mercy by him, they came to him as sinners. And those who did not come as sinners were turned away. The publican in the temple beat upon his chest and cried, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He came to Christ as a sinner. The harlot who came and bathed his feet with tears in the home of the Pharisee, she came as a sinner. She knelt at his feet and wept and dried his feet with the hair of her head and kissed his feet. That's a humble sinner. The thief on the cross came as a sinner. He said, Lord, I'm getting what I deserve, but you've done nothing amiss. remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Canaanite woman came to him, and he said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, that's true. I am a dog. So you can do that, can't you? You can take your place before God as a sinner. You see, Christ came into the world to save sinners. When the angel announced his birth to Joseph, he said, call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. In Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. In Romans 5, Paul said, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to save sinners. If he did not come to save sinners, why did he die as a sacrifice? Sacrifice is for sin. Blood is to cover sins. A mercy seat is for sinners. And Christ Jesus came to save the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. That's what Paul said. He came to save sinners of whom I'm the chief. I say this to you, your sins will not keep you from Christ. He came to save sinners, the chief of sinners, the greatest of sinners. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. Your sins won't keep you from Christ, but your goodness will. Your righteousness will. Your religion will. You see, salvation is all of grace. It's free. Therefore, it's for those who have nothing to pay. Salvation, redemption, forgiveness is not for innocent people. It's for guilty people. Mercy is for miserable people. Salvation's for sinners. One day our Lord was eating with the publicans and sinners, and the religious Pharisee says, well, why is he associating with those people? And our Lord said to them, the well do not need a doctor, but they that are sick. You go learn what that means. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I think we're kind of straying away from this thing in present-day religion. Everybody in the church claims to be good. They claim to be pure. They claim to be holier than thou. They claim to be without sin. And God has nothing for those kind of people. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. He came to save sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. So that's what you can do. If you're interested in the mercy of God, if you're interested in the grace of God, if you're interested in a saving relationship with God, take your place as a sinner at his feet. Secondly, what can a sinner do? What can a sinner do? He can take his place at the feet of Christ as a sinner. Secondly, he can seek the Lord. The Word of God commands men to seek the Lord, and it condemns men who do not seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You shall seek me and find me, he said, when you search for me with all your heart. The Bible does not say that men cannot seek the Lord. It says they will not seek the Lord. It says they won't. It says they don't. There's none that seeketh after God. But they should. And if they would, they could find him. If they would, they could find him. The eunuch was seeking the Lord, was he not? That Ethiopian eunuch who had charge of the queen's treasury. Well, he'd gone all the way to Jerusalem in a chariot to inquire after the Lord. And when he came back, he hadn't learned anything from those religious fellows up there. And God sent him a preacher who knew the gospel, sent him Philip. And Philip taught him the gospel, but he was seeking the Lord. He was reading the Word of God. Cornelius was seeking the Lord, a devout man, a troubled man, a sincere man. And God sent Peter to him to preach the gospel to him. The woman with the issue of blood was seeking Christ. Don't you remember? She had wasted everything she had on false physicians. 12 years, I believe, she had had this hemorrhaging. And finally she said, if I can get to Jesus of Nazareth, if I can but touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Now that's seeking the Lord. And she came, crawling on her hands and knees, and finally reached out and touched him and was made whole. She was seeking the Lord. The Greeks were seeking the Lord. They came to the disciples and they said to him, said to the disciples, sirs, we would see Jesus. We're not interested in talking to you. We want to hear him. We want to see him. Now, preacher, how do you suggest that I seek the Lord? Well, let me give you some suggestions. First of all, seek him. Seek him. Not an experience, not a feeling. Feelings come and go, and feelings are deceiving. I trust the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Don't seek a feeling. You might find one. Don't seek an experience. It's a good possibility you may find one. Don't seek the right church. Seek him. Him. You shall seek me, he said, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Come unto me, Christ said. I'll give you rest. That's one of the biggest problems today. People are going to the front. They're going to the pool. They're going to the church. They're going to the preacher. They're going to the soul winners. They're going to the law. They're going everywhere but to Christ. Seek him in his word. In his word. Listen to those who preach the word of God, who really, truly preach the word of God. But don't even follow them. Do like the Bereans. Listen. And then go home and search the scriptures to see if these things be so. That's what I would recommend that you do. Don't follow a man. If one fella can talk you into a profession, another fella talk you out of it. If one man talk you into a religious position, another man talk you out of it. You'll talk yourself out of it, or somebody will. But if you ever are taught of God, our Lord said, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And they shall all be taught of God. He that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So seek him in his word, and seek him among those who give evidence that they know him. Don't play the game. Don't go somewhere because they've got good activities. Don't go to a church because it's a pretty building. Congregate with people who give evidence that they know God. And then seek him with a sincere heart. If you have to drive 100 miles, drive it. If you have to quit your job and go somewhere else, do it. But find the gospel. Find the gospel with a sincere heart. Don't play the game. Yes, sir, that's what a sinner can do. He can seek the Lord. All right, thirdly, what can a sinner do? Well, he can take his place before God as a sinner. He better, because that's the folks Christ came to save. And then he can seek the Lord as a sinner. And thirdly, he can ask for mercy. Isn't that simple? Ask for mercy. And ask for salvation. Our Lord said, ask and it shall be given you. James said, you have not because you ask not. Christ said, seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened. I've always found it to be true that if a man really or a woman really desires something badly enough and they're in the presence of a person who can give it, they'll ask for it. Is that not true? If a person wants something badly enough, needs it badly enough, and they're in the presence of a person who can give it and who's willing to give it, they'll ask for it. My children, when they were growing up, never hesitated to ask me for things they needed. Dad, I need a new book. Dad, I need a pair of shoes. They asked for it. And they generally got it. In Matthew chapter 8, when our Lord came down from the mountain, the leper met him. You know what a leper is? Incurably, helplessly, covered with disease. And he came to our Lord and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Bartimaeus cried out, and they tried to make him hush. And he wouldn't hush. He kept crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. The thief on the cross, he asked. He said, Lord, you're coming into a kingdom. Remember me. Think on me. The publican asked. He asked the Lord. He asked him. Don't walk another aisle. Don't raise your hand another time. Don't ask another preacher to pray for you. Don't sign another card. Don't join another church. Don't be baptized again. Seek the Lord. Ask Him for mercy. Quit asking people. They can't supply your need. They can't supply their own need. They can't meet their own needs. They can't save their own souls. They can't put away their own guilt. What can they do for you? These preachers don't have any magic in their hands. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask and it shall be given you. Fall on your face before God, before Christ. Be like the harlot at His feet. Be like the leper at His feet. Be like Mary at His feet. Be like the thief. And call on the Lord, as sinners have always done, and ask Him to show mercy. Listen to Jacob. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. He wasn't wrestling with a soul winner or an evangelist or a preacher. Wrestling with the Lord God in the dead of night. And the morning began to dawn, and Jacob got a tighter grip on Him. And he said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. I'll not let you go till you bless me. I've got to have mercy. I've got to have grace. I've got to have help. I've got to have you. And my Lord said to him, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. That means cheat, supplanter, whatever. And he said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name is Israel, a prince with God. What can a sinner do? Well, I'll tell you fourthly, he can walk in the light God's given him. And if he'll walk in that light, God will give him more. So why don't you walk in the light of what you've heard this very day? And God will give you more light. I challenge you. If you want this message, what can a sinner do? It's on a cassette tape, along with another message that I'll bring next week. So until next week, at this same time, write for the tape, send $2, we'll mail it to you. Until next week, may God bless you.